Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
The PR campaign that's going on for both of these coaches, Pat Kelsey and Mark Pope.
Oh, what's Pat Kelsey? What's his
y'all PR? Act like he's talk the biggest, baddest dude to ever step foot in y'all's gym.
He's just cool. Like, he's cool. Yeah, he's just cool. But like,
what's cool about
yeah,
him?
Yeah, everything. Catching punts behind his back, going to all these
what's
different
things. What does that have to do with basketball?
It has nothing to do with
what's
basketball.
What does that have to do about getting Jaden Quakers?
It has nothing to do, but what it has to do is the revival, Strebel. Think about it. We just went through hell for
that
2 years.
That won't matter if you don't win
but
basketball games.
But it matters right now.
It matters
that's
right now.
It
you're
matters
right.
Right.
It
now.
Matters right now. But go, if you don't see, win basketball games, yeah, the revival don't mean a thing. Kenny Payne was Mr. Community and bringing history back.
No, the hell he was not.
All right, welcome to the show. It's the Roundtable. It's a Wednesday, a weird Wednesday. Jeff Lightsey in the studio with me. James Black back producing.
I'm James.
That's right. Kendrick Haskins will join us at 5 o'clock. We'll do weird, or sorry, 4 o'clock. Sorry, Kendrick. 4 o'clock. We'll do weird Wednesday at 4:30. We've got you until 6 o'clock here on ESPN 680. 1-057-437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line. We have a ton of content to get to today. New coach at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. What does that mean going forward? More Jaden Quaintance drama as that continues fluctuate. Seth Greenberg has some sound here about pay for play. I'm going to play that kind of after the Jaden Quaintance discussion.
Haven't heard that.
Also, Aaron Torres has some sound as well that we need to play. Talking about Jaden Quaintance and John Calipari at Kentucky. We're going to give Jeff a weird Wednesday quiz.
Uh oh.
Because I never know, with my guest hosts, sometimes I don't know exactly what you all think. So before we get into some of the content, I'm going to give you a little quiz and we'll rate you on a weird Wednesday scale. How about that?
Okay.
Little
okay.
Scale for Jeff Lightsey today. But Jeff, how you doing today?
Doing good, buddy. It's sunny outside.
It
the weather's
is.
Feeling good. It's feeling more like spring and not like winter.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at that at all. How about you, man?
Feeling good today. Now, before we get into sports stuff, they're trying to ban TikTok. They're trying to make it illegal. Another company has to buy it or it's going to be banned. Are you a TikTok person?
I have a TikTok. I'm not big on it. I'm not heavy. But it's what I will say, I don't have the notifications on because it is like addicting, right?
Yes.
Like you can be on there for hours if you find the right pages or whatever. So I try to keep myself off of that. Instead, I'm addicted to something else, which is Twitter. So
exactly.
It's like you trade one drug for another. I didn't need to add any more social media drugs to my
stratosphere.
So
yeah.
I was like, let me stay off of it. And now that they may ban it because China's getting our information.
They're going to get okay. Like, they didn't already have it.
Because Jeff has went viral before on TikTok.
Yeah, you have.
Absolutely. I don't care one way or the other. Well, I do care. Let me back up. I don't have it, so I don't care from that standpoint of like, oh, no, I won't have TikTok on my phone anymore. Mm. My wife loves it. Like she sends TikToks to me all the time.
Yeah. Brianna has to send them to me through text message because I don't see them.
Exactly.
On,
see, I don't, yeah. She has to send them because I don't have it.
Exactly.
So she sends texts of TikToks to me. Sometimes I'll watch them. Sometimes I won't. Depends on the mood I am. And it's nothing personal. It's just one of those things where like, I don't really want to watch it. But yeah, I'm with you. It's one of those things where like the reasoning behind it is the whole China is going to sell information. And I'm like, anytime you put anything on the internet of your personal information, it's out there.
Yeah, you just want China to buy it from you, essentially.
Exactly.
That's all it is. It's like,
yeah.
I don't want you to have direct access to it. I want you to have to buy it from Facebook or Google or whatever.
Bingo.
You know, it's the same thing.
It's a money slash power move, mm-hmm. and it's just another way it's basically a way to remove something that our own government can't control. Mm-hmm. They can't control it. They can't do anything with it. They're either going to ban it or have them sell it, so they can't control it.
Absolutely.
It's all about information, Jeff. It's all about information.
You're right about that.
Sorry to do Weird Wednesday early, but I saw that, and it got me thinking. It's like, you can't control this, so you want to take it. I'm not saying that China's a good, a friend of ours, or what they do over in China is a good thing or a bad thing or whatever. I'm just saying that if the United States government can't control the narrative, then they're going to do anything and everything they can to make it difficult for anyone else to control the narrative. So
absolutely. Yeah, I've been following this for a while, so I kind of saw it coming down the pipeline. I was like, are they really going to do it? Are they really going to do it? Mm-hmm. Sure enough, they're going to.
They're going to do it. Yeah, mm-hmm. they're going to do it. So
this was
going
to happen like a few years back as well, and then it ended up not happening. So
yeah, I we'll see what happens, but this is the first time like the president
he's like
has weighed in on it. Yeah,
well, apparently. That's what I mean. Trump weighed on when he was president. you don't count him, Streeble. Come on, man.
He weighed in on a lot of things, James. You know? he weighed in a lot of things. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. So the big news, I mean, there's no like really big news today, just a bunch of little things to kind of hit on, but we'll go through. The first thing I have on my list here, Jeff, is that Mark Pope hired his third assistant today. Alvin Brooks III was on Baylor's staff. This comes out from Jeff Borzello this morning. Kentucky's Mark Pope is adding Baylor assistant Alvin Brooks III to his staff. Sources told ESPN Brooks has worked under Scott Drew in Waco since 2016. He spent previous four seasons at Kansas State before heading to Waco with Scott Drew. So, you know, I looked him up because obviously I want to know, you know, what kind of player. Who are we getting here? He has a very good track record. He seems to be a young, up-and-coming assistant coach. Some of the players that he has gotten credit for while at Baylor, looking here right now on his 247 page, VJ Edgecombe, obviously mm-hmm. playing for Baylor this season. Keontae George, Jacoby Walker, among others. So, you know, those are all five-star guys. Yeah, five-star mm-hmm. guys. So, you know, one of the big questions that I had about Pope, and I think rightfully so, was his recruiting prowess. Because, yes. I mean, let's call it what it is, Jeff. You can sell me on him being a good coach as far as X's and O's on the floor, his percentages, his efficiency, his offensive numbers, tell that story. Mm-hmm. So you sell me on that, I believe it. His ability to get players.
Still need the dudes.
I still need the dudes. So, mm-hmm. so I'm like, okay, how big of a name is Mark Pope in recruiting circles? I think that's the question that a lot of people, like myself, had. Yeah. Like what is it? We knew John Calipari's what his reputation is. We know a lot of these coaches what their reputations are. Yes. I didn't know what Mark Pope's reputation is. I don't know if he has a reputation.
And it's hard to know when you coached only at Utah State and BYU.
Exactly.
Like very specific situations. Utah State is lower level, and then BYU has all of its restrictions, and it's going to restrict you from the type of player that you can acquire. So no, that's very valid reasoning. But that's why bringing in a guy like this and being able to lure a guy from Baylor like this, it's a credit to Mark Pope. It's like, okay, like you say that you want to do these things. You keep saying that you're going to do, and now you're in your first chance that you really get to, you know, show it, you're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you're getting the guys from BYU, the recruiting, whatever, but now I need a guy that can go big game hunting.
100%.
I need a guy that can go, like, get me into some of those rooms that I just haven't been in. It's not for a lack of trying. Mm. You just haven't been able to be in those rooms at Utah State and BYU. But I need guys that have been in those rooms, talk to those recruits, know those coaches, know that circuit. What is it, Nike EYBL or Adidas circuit or
100%.
Whatever. So I need that guy, because when I'm at BYU, I'm not going to those things.
No.
Because I'm just not. At Utah State, I'm not going to those things. I'm not in those circles. I'm not talking to those people. So, yeah, no, this was a big get.
It was a really big get. And unless you were like a four-star or five-star Mormon.
Exactly.
He had that on lockdown.
Absolutely.
He still might have that on lockdown.
Yeah.
We could get some of those players still. But I do like this move because, as you said, and I agree with you 1,000%, he now has, with Josh Hart and Alvin Brooks III, he seems to have two guys that are going to be able and go in there. I didn't know if Mark Pope was going to be able to get down and dirty in the mud.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, you know, recruiting is a dirty business.
It is.
We're watching,
even dirtier now.
It's even dirtier than it ever has been. We're watching that play out in real time now with Jaden Quaintance.
Yes.
And we'll get to that in the second segment, because that deserves a segment all on its own. but, I, you know, with these acquisitions, now I'm looking at, okay, we have the coaching aspect, I think, sorted out here.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get the players. Now, a couple players. I mean, one of these guys, though, Jeff. I'm sorry. It just doesn't do anything for me. I mean,
which one? I don't even know.
Okay. Maybe he can shoot.
Say it, man.
Aiden Mahaney, the guy from St. Mary's.
Okay.
The three-point specialist. So he's supposedly visiting this weekend, okay? So it says here.
Aiden Mahaney, baby.
Aiden Mahaney.
Yeah, you're going from Tyrese Maxey and Rob Dillingham to right. Aiden Mahaney.
Aiden Mahaney.
Aiden Mahaney.
Yes, Jeff Goodman reported, this is from Cats Illustrated, Jeff Goodman reported recently that Aiden Mahaney will be visiting Kentucky this weekend. The St. Mary's transfer would be a huge addition for Mark Pope's first team at UK.
Yeah, it would.
But he's also strongly considering UConn. Mahaney has taken visits to Creighton in Virginia already. He looks like a Virginia player.
I was about to say,
and a Creighton player.
Think about those. You're swimming in those waters.
He looks like
Creighton in Virginia.
Yeah, Creighton in Virginia.
UK is swimming in. Welcome to I love the smell of reality on Kentucky.
I don't know if it's smell of reality. It's smell of this is how he has to put his staff together now.
Well, I mean,
this is what he has to work with.
What I mean by just in the recruiting waters, because we talked about it yesterday, you guys lived in a different stratosphere for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Let's just call it what it like you when it came to recruiting. I'm just talking about strictly recruiting.
Absolutely.
And the type of dudes that you were able to get. Like, you were getting the thoroughbreds, and everybody else will get whatever's left over. You and Duke.
Yeah.
Y'all were getting the thoroughbreds. Everybody was getting whatever else, the mutts. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, sometimes a mutt can be the little engine that could.
Absolutely.
Like, they end up
butt.
But the thoroughbreds, you knew where the guys are going to make hundreds of millions of dollars playing basketball after college. Well, now you're getting a couple of these mutts.
Absolutely. And I'm not – this is not a guy that – like, I've been impressed with. He just isn't. So it says his field goal percentage is concerning. He only shot 38.6% from the field, averaged 13.9 points. He did shoot 40% from three as a freshman and 35.5% from deep as a sophomore. And he had 23 points in a 69-60 win over Gonzaga in the tournament, their West Coast Conference tournament semifinal. I'm sorry, thank you. It's Jason Hart, not Josh Hart. I got to mix up with the basketball player because I hear Josh Hart a lot more than I heard Jason Hart, which I'm just now learning that name. So, I mean, I've said this before. I've watched Mahaney play a couple times.
I've heard you talk about
it. Yeah, and he just does nothing for me. Like, all they talked about was, like, he's streaky.
Yeah.
That he's streaky.
You shoot 38 from the field, and you average 13 points, so it means you're getting shots up.
You are getting a lot of shots up.
Making a lot of them.
Exactly. You're not making a lot of them. You're getting shots up, not making a lot of them. So he's not a guy that I'm like, if they get him, let's go. I mean, he's a piece.
Yes.
That's all he is he's a piece. And I'm not gonna roll the red carpet out for Aiden Mahaney if we get Aiden Mahaney.
Now, how do you feel – it's still early, but do you feel you guys have, like, your – go-to guy yet? Like,
no.
Go-to offensive guy, you don't have
100% no.
Okay.
I don't. I mean, you have Amari Williams.
Yeah.
Colin Chandler. Don't know anything about either one of them.
And Amari's more of a defensive player anyway.
Exactly. He's a defensive player. Mm-hmm. He's a rim protector. That's going to be his role. Colin Chandler hadn't played ball in 2 years. He has a very nice highlight reel from 2 years ago. I don't know anything about him. In high school, his high school highlight reel is awesome. It looks great. But no, we do not have a go-to guy yet.
Mm-hmm.
Mahaney will not be a go-to guy yet. I mean, I think that one of them is going to be obviously great Osabor. He's a dude that can be that go-to guy. And then Jackson Robinson, who was on BYU last year, he's entered the NBA draft. But little tidbits here saying that even though he's entered the NBA draft, that they're still expecting him to enter the transfer portal and then go from there. Now, I didn't see this. Jeff, this was a bit of a mini bomb dropped by Jeff Borzello today. I don't know if you saw this or not, but this like changes the timeline for everybody. So Jeff Borzello tweeted this at 10:58 a.m. Tucked away in last week's NCAA transfer legislation was a significant change to the men's basketball calendar. all transfers need to be in the portal by May 1st, including graduate transfers. Mm-hmm. Previously, grad transfers didn't have to abide by the date the portal closed. So that's a, like, that's big time information.
Yeah.
Because you had the those portal waves to where you had the regular players portal, and then the grad transfers had a little more time.
Yeah, later in the offseason.
Later in the offseason. And now it's like, no, everybody's got to be in by next Wednesday.
Yes.
And then they have until May 29th to make their final decisions. Mm. So it's May 1st is you have to be in the portal, and then by then, after May 1st, you have until the 29th to commit somewhere, or you're done, son.
Yeah.
As Dave Chappelle said at one point. So that's now this, what this does, Jeff, is it gives us a more concrete timeline as to what we can expect and what we can look forward to. So we may say, now that this news dropped, I don't know how many people knew that. College coaches, college players, etc. I mean, we could have this weekend a mass influx into the portal. Not that we already had a mass influx.
Yeah, it's 2,000 guys or so.
Exactly. It's already 2,000. Like you said, like 2,000 guys. We could have an even bigger push. Now the grad transfer guys are like, oh, I got to go now?
Mm-hmm.
Now they'll push, and it's gonna be possibly absolute anarchy for, between now and next Wednesday, 1 week.
Absolutely. And the thing is, to your point, teams are like, there's teams like Louisville and Kentucky that are just trying to fill the entire roster. But then there's other schools that are just plucking a player or two here from the portal. And there's guys on current teams that are already signed. Are like, hey, hold on. You just recruited over me. Like, you just, right. I mean, whether it's a high school recruit or a transfer portal guy or a guy that's already on the team.
Sure.
It's like, I might want to go look somewhere else. I saw where Kansas had a guy, a freshman that was coming in. They're, you know,
he's a 4-star.
Yeah, dabbling in the portal. And he's like, oh, I think I'll actually take a release. You know, I think release me from my scholarship and let me go because I don't like the way I'm moving, like however that is. And that is, like you said, to your point, since everybody's got to be in by Wednesday, if you were a guy already on a roster, you may be reconsidering, you know, whether you want to go explore and see if there's something else out there. Because of the way your school is moving and recruiting the portal. That's significant news.
That's really major
news.
And for us, for you and I sitting here, what's funny is, like, we don't have that worry. We don't have worries about guys like saying, I'm going to get out of here. Because both of our rosters have been gutted.
Exactly. We're five players right now. You have three.
We have three. We have five. Yeah, it's not like we're worried about guys entering the portal.
Not at all.
We shouldn't be. But no, there might be some teams out there that now have this situation that you're talking about where they're like, okay, maybe I need to move on somewhere else because they're plucking other guys from the portal. And then another big thing today, RJ Davis going back to UNC.
Yeah.
Hubert Davis. I got to give my man Hubert Davis credit. He gets people to buy into UNC, man. I mean, Armando Bacot, I think, is finally out. I think he's finally done.
Yes.
Like, he never wanted to leave.
No.
Hubert was like, just stay here. He's like, okay, I'll just stay.
I mean, well, you got to think they haven't made. Like, it's Jordan Brand School, the premier Jordan Brand School.
It is.
They're probably getting upwards of $2 to $3 million in NIL, maybe more. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, but that's just like in cash. And who knows what? They probably don't have to pay for any kind of meals. RJ Davis almost player of the year at UNC.
Yeah.
And
he'll be the favorite probably next year.
Exactly. He'll definitely be the preseason favorite. So he's not paying for any meals in Chapel Hill.
No.
He's not paying for a car in Chapel Hill. He's not paying for his apartment in Chapel Hill. So all of those amenities are taken care of you. And that's not to say RJ Davis couldn't make a roster in the NBA, but I don't know if he does. A 6'1 shooting guard? Like, I don't know if that is an NBA player. He's very talented.
Very talented.
Highly talented college player, but the most money he can make playing basketball is probably right there in Chapel Hill. So, why wouldn't I? If COVID is going to give me an extra year, just like it gave everybody else the last 4 years, an extra year, I'm going to take advantage of a place that loves me, that I love, and that I don't have to pay for anything. I can make the maximum amount of money playing basketball now because next year there's no guarantee that I'll be playing in the States. I'll probably be over there.
Overseas.
Israel.
China. Yeah, exactly. Somewhere,
Not saying that you can't make money there, but it won't be $2-3 million.
Exactly.
You know that you're making in North Carolina, so I don't blame him. I feel it. I mean, go for it, man.
Yeah, I don't blame him at all. They've got it made. He's got it made. It's just odd, to see in this transfer portal era where everybody has a cup of coffee on a team and bounces, that Hubert Davis has been able to create this culture at North Carolina where, again, a lot of that might have to be NIL.
Yeah.
But
definitely as a big part of it.
But also it's like, okay, yeah, I get paid, but I can stay in a place where I'm going to get paid. I'm going to get taken care of. We're going to be competitive. We won the ACC regular season, won the ACC tournament. NC State lost to NC State. I forgot about that because it's the only way they got in the tournament.
Yeah.
But they were in the game.
Yeah, they were there.
They're going to be competitive, and you know they're going to have good players coming in. And RJ Davis was like, you know what? I almost got player of the year last year. I can stay here and do it again. And you know, there's like Jeremy Roach is the exact opposite. Jeremy Roach is like, nah, I'm bouncing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out. Like, these Duke dudes are like, I'm out.
Yeah, they're all out, yeah.
And North Carolina guys are able to stick around. You know, we've seen it at Kentucky and Louisville last few years. Like, it's hard to keep players around in the transfer portal area.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Like, except for UNC.
Exactly. This seemed to always, yeah. And it kind of worked in their favor with Baycock and RJ Davis that they're, like, not NBA players.
That
like,
does help.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, at Kentucky, you have a bunch of guys that are going to play NBA. Like, and
that was
like,
the culture.
Yeah. So they've always had dudes that played NBA. Whereas Baycock and RJ Davis, they were highly rated, like, 4 or 5 star guys, but they're kind of like tweeners. You know, a 6'2 shooting guard and a guy that, you know, doesn't shoot threes and trying to make it to the NBA, that just doesn't work anymore.
No.
Like, that doesn't work. If you can't shoot threes and you can't have no type of handle, no type of real skill
to be when able to it comes create to your
basketball.
Own.
Yeah, you're just a back to the basket guy and rebound a lot. It's hard to make a living in the NBA because you are a worse version of Oscar Tshiebwe. You're a worse version of Oscar Tshiebwe, and he can't. So like, he's in between the G League and the pros. So like,
he goes back and forth.
Yeah, so you're looking at that, and it's like, I could do that and make okay and do okay and maybe make a roster, maybe not, maybe be on 10-day contracts, maybe not. Or I could stay at UNC, get everything that I want, have everything at my fingertips, people waiting on me hand and foot as like I'm an NBA superstar versus being the, you know, bottom of the barrel riding the end of the bench type of guy and maybe be in the league 3 or 4 years, maybe on a G League team like that.
So. And maybe Mark Pope and Pat Kelsey can follow that model.
Possibly.
Where they get these high rated players, but it's like, you know, instead of what John Calipari was doing and just like getting him and say, okay, you're going to be here for a year, then I'm going to get you into the NBA right away. Maybe that mentality changes. Like, hey, look, if you're good enough to go to the NBA, go to the NBA. But we're going to have a place for you here.
Yes.
If you want to stay and stick around, you're at a premier place. You're at a place that you're going to be able to compete, that you'll be on a national stage. Mm-hmm. You have a place where you're going to have NIL money. You'll have a place where there's always going to be players that come in and you'll be able to play with and compete with at a high level. Set that model up at Louisville. Set that model up at Kentucky where it's not just a continuous revolving door. And look, love him or hate him, Chris Mack was setting that model up at Louisville,
yeah,
it looked
I
like.
So.
I mean, he had a lot of guys, you
it
know,
was kind of a little
around.
Bit before the portal.
It was. Right. It was before the portal
it
really
before
ramped
the
up.
Portal, and it was definitely before NIL, but it was before the portal kind of got the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're going to be successful, it's the only way you're going to be able to do it. I mean, even if you're looking at UConn, like, they've got a bunch of older guys on their team. Now, all of them didn't stay at UConn for 4 years. You know, Cam Spencer came from Rutgers.
Yeah.
Trish Newton came from ECU. But most of those guys have been in UConn for a couple of years. You know, because at this point,
Dan Hurley's doing it.
Yeah,
Matt Painter's doing this.
Yeah, at this point, to get a guy for 2 years is a bonus, right? Like, so I'm not expecting you to be the 4 to 5 year guy like RJ Davis and Baycock, but if you can get a kid for 2 years, you're winning. Three is almost impossible. It's unheard of. Three years at one spot nowadays. So, like, that's the model that you're going to have to take if you want to be successful in college basketball moving forward. It's the only way, and that's why I think UNC will be preseason top three because they're able to keep these guys. Elliot Cadeau for a second year. Obviously, RJ Davis for his fifth year. And then a couple of other guys that'll be mixed in there with your highly touted freshmen like Gigi Jackson or whatever.
Yeah.
And trying to, or Ian Jackson rather, to try to run this thing and try to win a championship. So we'll see. But that's on the coach. And it honestly has to be a mentality of the player.
It has to be the mentality
of the player because every player's not going to think like RJ Davis. RJ Davis taking a very smart, you know, business approach to his basketball career and trying to extend his basketball career and maximize his value, because if he goes out and wins player of the year and they go out and win a national championship, that actually improves your chances of being an NBA player.
It's going to elevate him.
Then coming out after this year. So, no.
It's like the opposite of Ugonna Onyenso.
Yeah.
While he's back in the portal. That's where he should have been
from the jump.
If he didn't want to be at UK, fine. I understand that. I hold no ill will against any player that leaves. I'd be it, do what you got to do. That's fine. It's not my place to tell you where you should be, where you shouldn't be. I can tell you one thing, though. I will tell you this thing. You don't belong in the NBA. Like, again, the people that have been, I guess, advising this young man have done a terrible job of advising this young man. And it, you know, he'll end up in a good spot. I mean, he is a good player.
Because
he's not a two-way player, though.
Yeah, he's a commodity still in college
in
basketball.
In college basketball,
Yes. Because you can't teach 7 feet. You can't teach 240. You can't teach his shot-blocking instincts.
Yeah, he has shot-blocking instincts.
But what keeps him from being that next level, like you said, he's only a one way. You're playing 4-on-5 on offense.
Right,
playing
4-on-5 exactly. on offense.
Unless you can throw a lob, you're playing 4-on-5 on offense. You're just hoping that his defensive abilities outweigh the fact that he's a liability on offense.
When he said, I can shoot threes and create off the dribble, I was like, what? Huh?
Where? Cal was holding him back.
Were you hiding this from us?
Cal was holding him back.
Yeah, Cal holds him back. Back. Like, don't do that. Don't you shoot Ugana on Yenso. I was like, bro, you couldn't make a shot at the rim. Like, I've seen you miss dunks. I've seen it with my eyes. You can't fool me. What are you talking about? I can shoot. It's like saying, I can fly an airplane. Now, everyone, did you ever see me do it?
No.
You never see me do it. I never seen Ugana on Yenso shoot. Maybe Cal will say, don't do that, big guy. But Aaron Bradshaw, he shot a little bit. Trey Mitchell shot a lot. I never saw Ugana say about that. I think I did like twice. It was like, oh, God, don't do that.
Don't ever again.
Stop that.
It
was like when, who was your guy that hit the shot against Virginia and won the game?
Mango.
It's one of those things where he stepped out and you're like, oh, hell no, Mango. And Mango shot it.
I was like,
he never made that shot again.
Never again.
I don't know where Mango is, but he ain't making that shot. I know that.
He can have that shot 100 more times. He's going 1 for 100.
I wonder where Mango is. Do you know?
I have no clue.
He was playing overseas
a little bit after he graduated, but I don't know where he is now.
I think about when, but you know what?
Those are the type of guys you're about to have. I wonder where that guy is. Now the Kentucky guys, you're like, oh, man, I wonder where Devin Booker is. Well, he's in the playoffs making $100 million. Whatever, but it's like, oh, I wonder where Chandler is going to be Colin Chandler in 5 years.
Speaking of Devin,
you'll be somewhere filing somebody's taxes or something. Get used to some tax accountants.
As long as they win, I don't care. Yeah. They can do all the CPA work in the world. They can be my tax advisor. That's fine with me. Just win me some games, damn it. Just win. Speaking of Devin Booker, did you see what he did on Instagram?
No, what he did.
Okay, so there's an actress. She's in Squid Game.
Okay,
and she's like a model too. She's like a model actress, Let me see if I can get her name here because I don't want to sit here and just talk about her. Squid Game. I'm looking on IMDb right now. Attractive young lady, of course. And let's see here. Her name is Squid Game. Was awesome, by the
Squid
way.
Game it was a really good show.
It was a really good show. Really, really cool. Let's see her. Her name was. I can't.
Pronounce it.
I think it's I don't want to butcher this young lady. Yeah. But yeah, again, attractive young lady.
Mm-hmm.
So she had like on Instagram, and he put something like, "Hey, check your DM," with like a little like smiley face with the hearts all around it, and she just put no. He got shot down. Devin Booker.
She don't watch basketball. Squid Game. They don't watch basketball.
They don't watch basketball.
You Google Devin Booker contract. You look a lot more attractive than his profile picture. I promise.
She's put no. Yeah. It's a long way from having girls lick your door handle on your car at UK. Do you know that happened?
No, I heard about it. What happened? I don't know.
Girls would go and they'd film themselves licking like the handle on his car door.
On Devin Booker's?
Devin Booker's when he's at UK. They would go lick it.
Yeah. BBN students.
Jeff. I was about to say, that's the BBN thing. In Lexington. Yeah,
you wouldn't understand. It's BBN. You don't understand. It's a BBN thing.
Well, now, instead of licking card, I'm going to put scriptures on your window.
Exactly.
Scriptures on the window. Ain't no more licking card doors. Ain't no more of that. Like, ain't no more poking the holes through the, you know what? Let's go. Now, you get scriptures and pamphlets and all that stuff.
Yeah. No more. No. No, who was the IG model that used to show up to PJ Washington's games.
Brittany Renner.
Brittany Renner showing up to the games. I remember that debate. AD and I had the debate, like, who's Brittany Renner there for? We all thought it was Tyler Hero. Nah. Like, we were all like, she's here for Tyler Hero. It ended up being PJ Washington.
She locked it down, too.
Yeah, she did.
She locked it down.
And then I think he married another IG model.
He did.
PJ. Oh, man. PJ. He got a type. PJ got a type.
But yeah, man, those days are gone.
It's gone. No,
those days are gone. Now, instead of hosting IG model summaries, you're going to host them Bible studies.
That's right. Yeah, Bible studies. Very wholesome.
Like, man,
very wholesome. Cookies and milk.
It's changing in the bluegrass, baby.
Not sugar cookies. Yeah. And whole milk. All right, let's read some text. Texture, hearing the super reputable, not Homer on Three Sports at Kentucky passed on Jaden Quaintance. Is this true, Strebel? I don't know. I don't think it's true. Look, we'll get to Jaden Quaintance in the next segment because there's some Jaden Quaintance sound we need to hear as well. Texter, remember the Cats fan asshat that scratched Go Cats in people's car? Whoa. What a dip bleep, huh? Yeah, I mean, if you're defacing property, yes, it's stupid. No Louisville fans ever deface any property at all. Never. No, it's only Cats fans. You're right. Thank you. Texter, special birthday wishes to Mark Stoops' eldest son, Jeff Brom. Happy birthday, Jeff. Mark Stoops' eldest son. Happy birthday, Jeff. Texter, instead of Drake and other stars performing concerts at Big Blue Madness, everyone's going to be in a circle with a guitar singing Kumbaya. You're damn right.
Or Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton.
I ain't rapping Hamilton.
Rapping Hamilton.
I'm an accountant.
You ain't got a scholarship as Queen Cat. I got a scholarship.
Yeah, I'm not doing any of that. I'm not rapping Hamilton. It's terrible. Texter, I'm an accountant and I'll hoop all over you. That's from BB and Blue Mist. Hey, accountants can bowl too. I don't mind. Texter, Uncle Strebel going to hook PJ up. LOL. I got nothing to hook him up with.
You said it. IG models should have an uncle manager.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But their uncle is her agent.
I don't have any nieces. All right, well, let's take a break. On the other end, we'll talk Jaden Quaintance and exactly what is going on there. There's some more moving parts. You always tell me, welcome to these waters. Y'all, welcome to these waters.
Yeah.
I'm used to these waters. This is new for you all.
It is.
With this back and forth with the recruits. This is a new experience for you all.
I love it, though. Good. You bring it to me. It's better than 8 wins. 8-24.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
No, it is. Exactly. That's correct. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that thousands of men have all around the country and really all around the world. Millions of guys deal with this. We don't really talk about it very much either. The only time you hear about it is, you know, when you listen to this show or other radio programs that also are team partners with Tri-State Men's Health. But don't forget, guys out there, you're not alone. It's not a problem that only you have. It's not a knock on your masculinity, a knock on who you are as a person. It's a natural thing that occurs. It's a medical thing that occurs. But the good news is, just like if you had the flu, if you have strep throat, if you have any type of ailment, there is something that you can take for it. And Tri-State Men's Health, they're the ones that have the best options for you. When the pills and the herbals don't work, they have treatments that are well over 90% in their success rates, right? And some treatments can have you lasting even more than an hour. That'll rejuvenate your confidence, rejuvenate your masculinity, rejuvenate your love life. I mean, your significant other, your spouse, whoever that may be, they will be, it's like you're 20 again. It'll be like you're 20 years old again, and you won't be able to keep your hands off each other thanks to Tri-State Men's Health. So go ahead and check out one of their 6 locations, Cincinnati, Dayton 2 in Columbus, Ohio, Louisville, and the new office in Northern Kentucky. Yeah, it's a $99 consultation fee. You'll have a medical licensed medical provider with you. They'll test your testosterone, your PSA levels, and if medically advised, you can do a test dose in the office. If the test dose does not work, then your visit is free. But it'll work, and when it does, you could be having sex the day after your appointment. Call them, 800-900-9654, or visit tristatemenshealth.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. We're in this together. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. A scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dag, I'm amazed and astonished. The problem is I got a lot of brains but no polish. I gotta holler just to be heard with every word. I drop knowledge, I'm a diamond in the rough.
Welcome back to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
It's just his voice and delivery. I can't do it. I can't do Hamilton. I can't. Alright, it's the Round Table here on ESPN 680 105.7. Jeff Lightsey with me today. James Black producing today's effort tonight. Reds versus Phillies, 6:10 p.m. on ESPN 680 105.7. Mobile Sports Live, 7 p.m. over on 93.9 The Ville, and that'll be over after the Dan McDonald Show over there on the flagship for the Cards, 93.9 The Ville, 6 p.m. Check out what the coach has to say right after the drive. So all the programming here, whether it be sports, live sports, or local sports programming, we have it all, ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. So, Jeff, as the tables turn,
yes,
as the world turns, Jaden Quaintance felt like it was something that was the way that it sounded by the end of the show yesterday, it felt like a Louisville lock. I mean, Ty Spaulding putting information out there, among others. What, just Ty? There's others. But now... Memphis has entered the chat.
Yes.
And so Jason Munns on Twitter, and Jason Munns is a Memphis News beat writer, put this tweet out. I asked Jaden Quaintance's dad what they're looking for as far as they go through the recruiting process again. Development is a big one. Quote, this is from Jaden Quaintance's father. I know Penny personally does the development for a lot of his players, so it doesn't really get no better than Penny. End quote. So there's that, except for unless you want to go to the NIT, the NCAA tournament. That's another discussion. So, Jeff, reading that and hearing that, what are your thoughts now?
I mean, it just sounds like their mind may be made up. You know, it sounds like it may be headed to Memphis, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, like you said, at one point, it's just how, like you said, how fast this stuff turns. Yesterday, it was like, looked like, oh, dead set on Louisville.
Oh,
cut off Arkansas. Kentucky visit got canceled. And, like, we might go visit Memphis, but, like, the only visit that he's made is Louisville. So it's like, okay, it looks like Louisville thing is kind of getting closer and closer and closer, and then now you get these quotes. And that, like, that man that you just read from writes for the Memphis, their version of Courier Journal.
Oh, yeah,
like
he's the Memphis newspaper. Yeah, exactly. He's so, the Memphis basketball beat writer, yes, for their newspaper. Yes, yes, absolutely.
And so, like, and just the quote itself, I know Penny develops talent himself, and then Penny Hardaway still means a lot to a lot of people. Just the
he
name
does.
Itself.
It's wild how. Sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'll let you finish. But just the thought just came in my head, like how wild it is, how much they still love him in Memphis, and he hasn't done anything.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, once you become a celebrity outside of coaching, you're always that guy.
Yeah.
Like Penny has a track record as a coach. Like, we know what he was as a basketball player for the Magic and high school and college.
Yeah, he was
and
great.
Stuff. Yeah, but we also know what he is as a coach.
Right.
Like, he's just okay.
He's okay.
He's all right. And he's had 5-star guys, and some of them have been okay, and then others have been Moussa Cissé.
Moussa Cissé, yeah.
They've been that, you know,
yeah.
Three schools.
Or Imani Bates.
Or Imani Bates, you know what I'm saying? So, like that's the track record as a coach. Like, that's what you're committing. Not Lil Penny and the Magic. And not that. Yeah,
Penny,
not the phone posits and air pennies and all that. No. You got to go off what he's doing now. And that just isn't great. But if that is the image that a lot of the parents and people still have in Penny, and Penny's a good guy, too. That's another thing. Like, he's a really likable person.
Yeah.
But as a basketball coach, if that's what you think is best for your child's development, go for it, man.
Do you feel like, and we're gonna hear a couple sounds here real quick. Do you feel like now that it just like maybe Quaintance is just going to the highest bidder?
That's what it sounds like.
It does.
At this point.
Yeah.
At this point, it sounds like, because even when they asked Quaintance when he was at the Jordan game, they asked him, did he have any more visits set up? And when he got to Memphis, he said, I think you got to talk to my dad.
Yeah.
He's like, my dad
handles
that.
His dad's driving
that.
The ship.
Yeah, he said, my dad handles that. Like, I think you have to speak with him. And once he said that, that's why I was like, okay, Memphis is not a real contender. But now that his dad is kind of putting this stuff out there, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, this has
well,
to
be. Well, even yesterday, the reports coming out was that they were either going to try to push the Memphis visit back or cancel it all together. Yeah. And then this morning, this pops up, and I was like, wait a minute. We all assumed that it was done. It was done. All right, let's go ahead and see, James, if you want to play the Aaron Torres sound first, please. So Aaron Torres has a couple things. He has John Calipari thoughts, and then he has thoughts on the Jaden Quaintance recruitment. Go ahead, James. Thank you.
I think Calipari over the next day or two, or probably, I would say probably week or so, I think this dude could go on a monster recruiting run with the Razorbacks. First off, the news that we got earlier in the day on Tuesday, Boogie Fland, five-star guard, was committed to Kentucky, McDonald's All-American, asked out of his letter of intent. He's going to visit Arkansas on Wednesday night. And so to me, this feels like probably the next big piece of news that works out in Arkansas's favor. First off, in terms of his recruitment, it's actually been pretty quiet. Now, he said all the right things about, you know, I'm opening things up and I'm going to look at all my options and all this and all that. But you start to look at the options, I don't know how good they are. He's from the Northeast. I don't think UConn, which initially recruited him out of high school, has much interest. I think they're pretty set with what they want to do in the backcourt. St. John's, I thought would be involved, but it doesn't feel like they are. And then if you go to the ties that he has, Kentucky, listen, I'm not going to beat around the bush. It doesn't feel as though he's a priority for Mark Pope, which is fine. Mark Pope has to do what's best for him. So Kentucky feels out of the equation. His lead recruiter, Orlando Antigua, feels is now headed to Illinois. And I've just never believed that it makes sense for him to just go to Illinois with no ties to the school, no ties to the region, no ties to the head coach. I mean, I think that's a tough sell. Now, if Orlando Antigua can pull it off, it's incredible. But I just think that's going to be a tough sell for a kid who has no ties with Illinois, no ties to the Midwest, whatever. And so I think Arkansas is in pretty good shape. And this is another kid, 6'2", 6'3" guard, lead guard, can all three levels can score. He's a really good player who, again, I think you give him time, you allow him to get comfortable in that John Calipari system, in that John Calipari offense. That's a guy that I think could be really good by the end of this year. I don't think it's apples to apples with Rob Dillingham, because Rob Dillingham has like one of one elite speed and elite quickness. But I do think he's that kind of player who can fill that kind of role.
Okay, that's it. Okay, that was more about Boogie Fland. But I probably sent James the wrong sound.
Loving Boogie Fland in Arkansas.
Yeah, Boogie Fland, in Arkansas. What you knew is going to happen. All right, let's go ahead. We'll scratch that. Let's go ahead and do the Seth Greenberg sound, because this goes farther into our conversation about believe I did. If not,
let me check real quick. I didn't see it.
That's okay. But yeah, it's basically about pay for play.
Mm-hmm.
Situation with what he's discussing, but with Jaden Quaintance, I mean, that could have been for Louisville and Pat Kelsey. And again, it's not done. It's not like he's going.
They haven't come out and committed anywhere, no, signed anything or anything. So,
but I mean, that would have been an exciting get for Pat Kelsey. I mean, again, still could be an exciting get. But if not, I mean, it's kind of like one of those things where, you know, you shoot your best shot, you don't get him. Now what? Now where do you go?
Well, the thing is, that's why they understand this better than us, because they're in it, right? They know that these things change over and over and over again. So it's like, I have to have a million contingency plans, because I can't just bank on landing this kid, especially if at the end of the day it's a bidding war. Like, if it is a bidding war, I can't just bank on landing him, because if I put out my best number and someone else has a better number, then they're probably going to lose out to him, unless our connections are just that strong. So, yeah, I mean, I think you always have to continue to have contingency plans and not put all your eggs in one basket of one player.
Would it be a big disappointment?
I wouldn't say it's a big disappointment. I don't think most Louisville fans expected to get Jaden Quaintance. Now, like, you got your hopes up after
yesterday,
Kentucky dropped out.
Yeah.
And after Arkansas was X'd off the list. But at the same time, like, if you lose out to Memphis simply based off the money, and once again, the reason why you can't, especially with a kid who has to do 2 years of college basketball, you can't be too sad about it, because he can go to Memphis and be miserable. and then be in a portal next year and end up at Louisville. Like, yeah. So you can't be sour grapes and be like, oh, I hate Jaden Quaintance, and he might end up wearing your jersey not this season but next season. So, like, that's why it's like you keep your options open and keep it moving. Like, I think that's why you don't burn bridges, and that's why the staff won't be sour grapes if he does decide to go to Memphis, because they know there's still a good chance they could end up with him on their roster just next season.
Yeah, it depends on how good he does as well. I mean, if he goes there and he just it's too much for him, it's overwhelming, then it's kind of like, ugh. I mean, it's a big risk on his part.
Absolutely.
He's gonna drop down. He's not gonna be playing the SEC. He's mm-hmm. not gonna be playing the ACC. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be playing in the AAC.
AAC.
And
yes.
Like, if he is whatever's left, it could be an Amadi Bates situation. Yes. To where, I'm not saying it is, because he's a very good player, but where he goes in there, and he's only 17 years old when he gets to campus.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, his reputation takes a hit if it doesn't go to Memphis. It's as big of a risk for Jaden Quaintance as anybody.
Absolutely.
Because as the texter points out, who has Penny developed? I mean, who can
and
you
this
point
is a
to?
Real development project. Like, this isn't a 6 month one no. and done type of thing. This is a place that you're yes. hoping that can make me a better player.
And Jaden Quaintance's father is very hands on.
Yeah.
Mean, he's going to be one of those dads that's going to be, I mean, chirping. I mean, Calipari's had to deal with them. Kelton Johnson's dad was like that.
Okay.
Where he was
a
yo, yo, yeah. Kelton Johnson's dad was like that. He had things to say during the season. Adu Fierro's dad was like yes. that during this mm-hmm. season. I mean, some of these players.
On social media, too.
On social
like
media.
In public, yeah.
Call people out. All right, let's play this. Seth Greenberg sound about pay for play and what he thinks is doing to college basketball. Let's take a listen.
Donor fatigue is real when you're talking about collectives. I mean, the same people are being hit up year after year after year. And the other thing is, these people that are donating to the collectives, successful, wealthy people, great. But successful, wealthy people became successful, wealthy people by making good investments. And when you make an investment in a player in a collective, and then a year later that player transfers or that player doesn't produce, then you have a little bit of a problem hitting those same boosters up again. That's why there needs to be some type of parameters, some type of guidelines. And we've got to put academics back into the picture of this recruiting process. And it's out of the picture right now. It's a transactional, financial transaction. That's all it is. Where are the incentives for GPA? Where are the incentives for academic progress? Where are the incentives for graduation? Where are the incentives for community service? Those are the things that really need to be highlighted, along with obviously everything else during the course of the process. But we've lost that, and that's a problem. And then the connection. And what I mean by the connection, you got guys at a school for three years, playing well, playing at a high level, doing well in their NIL and their collective contracts, and taking $100,000 more, which 10% goes to the agent. Obviously, tax gets a certain amount of money, and you know what happens? Where does that guy go back to? Where does he go back to when he's done? Spend 6 months at the final school and 3 years the school prior, and yet when push comes to shove and his career is over, and it could be over at the end of next season for most of these guys, where does that player go back to? We're really missing something here. We've got to find a better solution to this problem, because a lot of these young people in the end are going to be hurt in the long run. No education, no connection. Makes it really, really hard in a big picture.
All right, so there you go. Sounds like all the sour grapes from Seth Greenberg.
Basically. I mean, basically, it's the old school, like, I'll get off my lawn.
Exactly. Oh, Amari Williams should have stayed at Drexel.
Where do they go?
Where do they go?
The hell they want, Seth. Like, especially if they get, $500,000. Yeah, you can take a jet to go wherever you want with $500,000. Like,
exactly.
What are you talking about, man?
I just think it's so funny. Like, where do they go?
They end up
in the abyss.
They can go back to both schools. Patino's going to go to Rupp and Yum Center.
Exactly. he's going to go everywhere.
I doubt if he goes to Yum Center.
Yeah,
if 8 years we hire Jeff Shepard or somebody, he will. He'll donate NIL and everything.
Or maybe Peyton Siva. I don't know if we hire Jeff Shepard. Maybe Peyton Siva.
Coach Peyton Siva.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't make a video for him. Yeah. Coach Luke Hancock.
Yeah,
MOP.
Exactly. Yeah, he'll look out for them. I don't know about Jeff Shepard Louisville.
Yeah.
We ain't doing no more of that.
You see,
all them days is over. All
no
these
more.
UK plants.
We had a bad experience with Kenny Payne.
fame, but we had like Walter McCarty on.
Walter McCarty, that's right.
Yeah, but those were assistants.
As
we've learned, moving 6 inches over is totally different, man. Yeah, we ain't doing that no more.
No, it's a big difference in those seats. Those seats matter. Or read some text here. We'll get Kendrick Haskins on at 4 o'clock. I'm betting G5,500 acquaintance wears a different uniform next season. Texter, 16-year-old in Memphis. Sounds like a good idea. LOL. Texter, oh, it's Biscuit. Hello, Biscuit. Texter, also, do you want a kid? Okay, sorry. If U of L, UK, and Duke don't start signing players, end up being a TBT 3-versus-3 tournament between those three schools. Also, do you want a kid who makes more money than your head coach? I don't think the head coaches care as long as they can play.
Yeah,
Texter, I remember when the issue was lack of revenue sharing for the universities. And here we are squeezing the fan bases while Big Ed doesn't give up a penny. We were all duped. Seth Greenberg is a silly goose, a card-carrying member of the Cult of Cal and on the executive council of the cult. Get out of here, Seth. Wow. the cult of Cal. Cal.
He was going real hard.
He was going hard for John Calipari.
When Cal made the move to Arkansas, he was going super hard.
And, of course, Jeff Goodman, the one carries water for Cal like Seth Greenberg. Well, he's giving Bill Self a big smooch.
And Ed Cooley.
Pat Kelsey and Ed Cooley. Giving him kisses. And Woody. Oh, he's got his own. You smooch too, big boy. Get good bum. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll get Kendrick Haskins from Wave 3 on the other end. Sound Control of Louisville is the best security company in the state of Kentucky. 350 five-star reviews on Google and counting. There's been more since I've got this script. 35 years of family-operated, locally-owned business. They'll do your home. They'll do your business. They'll do whatever it takes to get those places safe. They have the best technology. They have the best equipment. They have those high-resolution cameras that can see at night. They have a zero false alarm guarantee because once those false alarms pile up, you'll start to paying out. That's right. You'll have to start paying money. They are in contact with the 911 responders on the way to your home or business. They do cameras as well, badge access, fire monitoring. You can do it all from your phone. Give them a call, 502-966-8999, or visit them at SonatrolKY.com.